Welcome to Session 10, Handling Objections. I'd like to start by sharing with all of you something that I came across many, many years ago. And, of course, you're going to say, how does this work in handling objections? I think you'll see that in just a minute. Probably 25, 28 years ago in a seminar, I came to a conclusion that in selling anything, whether it be selling pens or whiteboards or shoes or houses, that there's a process that a salesperson will go through. And that process is what I call the PPC process. P is for prospect, P is for present, and C is for close. And the question that I've asked 25, 28 years now of audiences time and time again is the same question I want to ask you. You probably already know the answer. And the question is, of the three basic steps in the sales process, prospect, present, or close, which of the three really is the most important step? Now, I have to tell you, I've asked this questions of audiences several thousand times. And I'll give you the response that I've received several thousand times. Here's what I hear all the time. About 75 to 80% of all audiences will say to me that without a doubt, prospecting is the most important step in the sale. Well, I mean, let's look at the logic here. How do you present and close if you don't have a prospect? That's pretty logical. In most cases, any place from 15 to 20% of the audience will say, no, no, no. The close is the most important step in the sale because if you can't close the prospect and get a contract signed, you're not going to get paid. And in most cases, any place from 1% to 0% of an audience will pick the presentation. So then I'll stop and say, okay, somebody tell me, and I'll point to somebody in the audience and say, okay, tell me why you really think prospecting is most important. Well, Mike, I mean, if you don't have somebody to talk to, you can't make a presentation, you can't close, so what's the point? I mean, that is the name of the game. You've already stated it time and time again. Several of these sessions, you've talked about prospecting. You know, we don't want to hear the word. We call it lead generation. We use all these excuses. But if we don't have a prospect to talk to, nothing's going to happen. I say, okay, great, I accept that. Then I'll say to them, are for sale by owners prospects? And they go, well, yes. Do you ever drive by them? They go, well, what do you mean? I said, well, have you ever driven by a for sale by owner and not stopped? And they go, well, yes. Well, then how good a prospect could that be? Do you know of any expired listings? They go, yes. Do you call them all the time? They go, no. Well, then obviously it can't be very important. Do you have centers of influence you don't talk to? Well, yes. But aren't they prospects? Well, yes. And say, okay, who picked the close? And somebody raised their hand and say, why is the close the most important step in the sale in your opinion? And they will always say something along this line. Well, if you can't hammer it down, you know, if you can't be tough, and if you can't get us, if you can't get them to sign the contract, nothing happens. And it's usually some real aggressive guy or gal in the audience that stands up and defends this position. And I'll say, well, okay. I said, but I always thought, and I could be wrong here, I always thought that the close was a natural ending to a good presentation. And they go, what do you mean? I said, I think, or I've always thought that if you make a great presentation to a good prospect, the people will want to sign the contract. They'll want to buy whatever you're trying to sell. And they say, well, okay. I said, so let me tell you my opinion here. Of the three steps, I believe strongly that the most important step in the sale is the ability to present yourself in a way that causes people to want to buy. They go, well, what do you mean? I go, well, now think about it. If I have a buyer or seller and I make a great presentation to them and they are a good qualified prospect, how hard is it for me to close them on signing a contract? Watch this. The stronger I present to any prospect, the more apt I can close them to buy a home or to sell their home. So therefore, the real key to success in selling is the ability to present yourself well. Here's a question. How well do you present yourself? How professional? How strong? How confident? How well to the point can you get? How question-oriented are you? Do you know your scripts and dialogues? See, if you take the old concept that knowledge equals confidence and ignorance equals fear. Knowledge equals confidence, ignorance equals fear. So watch. If I say to myself, knowledge equals confidence. If I know my presentation, do I have confidence? Yes. ignorance equals fear. If I don't know my presentation, do I have fear? Yes. So therefore, in selling, ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals, it is really very simple. The better I know how to present, the more confidence I have, less fear I experience, the more I will prospect, and the easier it is to close. Mike, I thought session 10 was on handling objections. Ah, you're getting it right now as I talk. Way back, late 60s, early 70s, one of the great speakers, in my opinion, in the real estate industry was Tom Hopkins. And he continued that through the 70s and 80s. If you've never seen Tom Hopkins, talk about inspirational. Tom is a wonderful inspirational speaker. But I used to go to Tom's training a lot in the early 70s. He had these little three-day listing courses and sales courses in Phoenix, Arizona, and Scottsdale. And, I mean, I loved watching Tommy work, so it was very enjoyable going to his sessions. But I kept leaving always feeling a little frustrated. Not with Tom, because Tom's a great guy. I was frustrated because I couldn't accept what he was teaching in one part of the program. See, in one part of the program, Tom spent an enormous amount of time teaching everybody how to handle objections, today's topic. And what Tom would teach really did make logical sense to the audience, and everybody bought it and accepted it, and I think it became a standard in our industry. It, yet every time I left, I was bothered. See, what Tom would do is he would give us a whole long list of objections, give us multiple answers to all these objections, ask us to memorize them, internalize them, which makes sense. And then when the objection came up, bang, we could hit that prospect with an answer to that objection. Logical, makes sense. Then, of course, I started doing my own coaching and training in the mid-70s, and one of my close friends and a great competitor was Floyd Wickman. Wonderful guy. I'm sure most of you have seen Floyd. Truly one of the funniest men I've ever met in my entire life. Great sense of humor. Floyd did the same thing as Tommy. Give you a whole long list of objections, multiple answers to each one, have you, again, memorize them. I kept saying to myself, I can't buy this. It just doesn't work for me. Something was unsettling. Because I had this basic belief of this. When you make an incredibly strong presentation to a buyer or seller, the chances of getting an objection of any type are so minimized that you don't have to spend a lot of time memorizing 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 answers to objections. My belief was spend a major portion of your time becoming so masterful at your listing and showing presentations that when you make that presentation, people look at you and say, man, you're the guy or you're the gal that I want to list with, period. You're the guy, the gal that I want to go ahead and buy from, period. The presentation is so persuasive, the presentation is so strong that they don't want to give you objections because they want to sign a contract. PPC, which is the most important step, the presentation. So I had for a long time, as I started doing this training in 1975 through 1980, 82, 85, I had a lot of conflict because everybody was teaching that you had to memorize lengthy answers to all these 50, 75, 100 objections. And I was teaching at the same time, hey, guess what? Handling objections is easy. Become great at that and everything else takes care of itself. So what you're going to see today is a compromise of what I just went through. I still believe 100%. Guys and gals, and there is no question in my mind that I'm right at what I'm saying here. Now that's egotistical, and that's probably the wrong way to say it, but I feel I am right. When you become a master of the presentation, you have the confidence to prospect all day long because you can't wait to tell your story. When you're a master of the presentation, you're going to become so strong in the close because the close is nothing more than, now that you've seen what I have to say, would you sign the contract, please? And they're going to say yes. because your presentation is strong. The energy, the excitement, the enthusiasm, all those characteristics, the professional attire, your handshake, your shoes are shined, your hair is groomed, you've got your makeup on properly, you've got a smile on your face, your documents are well prepared, you know your scripts. Hey, they don't object when you're good at what you do. Why do people give you objections? Because you're not good at what you do. So my compromise is, yes, there are certain objections you're going to get. And if you're not willing to learn your presentation to the degree that I think you should, yes, you're going to get some of those objections. However, I also believe as you develop tremendous presentation strength, guess what happens? I'll give you an example. I have felt for years that people like Floyd Wickman and Danny Kennedy, these great speakers that have been in real estate for years, obviously Tommy, a predecessor to most of us in what we did. I mean, these guys and gals were great, great speakers, still are. I felt the difference between myself and them is that I believed in what I said at a higher degree than anybody else that was doing any teaching at all. Now, I'm sure Danny and Floyd and Tommy would disagree with that because they believe in what they say. But I believe that what I was saying. And therefore, I've always been able to present to an audience like you with such strong conviction that I'm right that people bought what I was saying. Now, I'm going to tell you, and listen carefully. In the last 30 years, we have assisted tens of thousands of agents in becoming unbelievable producers, taking all the material that you've listened to and played with in these first 8 or 10 sessions you've been with me on. Guys and gals, I know this works. Watch, see what I'm demonstrating there? The presentation. When you believe so much in what you're doing and you convey that belief, you don't get a lot of objections from people, end of conversation. So the challenge that each of us faces is developing that absolute intense belief, okay? That intense belief that what you're doing is right, that what you're doing is the right thing, and you're saying it in such a way that people will want to deal with you. I believe anybody can learn to do that, okay? I believe that you can learn to do that. If you're a rookie, a brand new agent, if you're an experienced veteran doing 50 deals a year, you can turn up the heat and you can learn to develop that belief by practicing continually. Now, in one of our later sessions, we're going to talk about practice and role play and how to make that work for you so you can take these ideas and move them forward. But let's assume that you're not buying 100% of what I'm trying to sell here, which is the belief in making a strong presentation. Let's assume you haven't accepted that yet. So now we have to look at some of the standard traditional thoughts on handling objections. That's the compromise that I mentioned a few minutes ago. So I want to go through with you some thoughts on handling objections. Now, if you don't understand yet my belief there, then you probably need to go back and watch this session again. Because I am convinced, and let me state it again, that you can eliminate 99% of the problems you have with buyers and sellers during your presentation time by simply making an unbelievably great presentation. When you believe so much in what you're saying that you can convey that to a seller and buyer, they accept it and they sign a contract with no objections. However, if you don't have that belief yet, first thought, an objection is a question in the mind of a customer or prospect that remains unanswered. People say, okay, what is an objection? It's a question in the mind of a customer or prospect that remains unanswered. Our job is to answer the question, okay? The customers, after you make a listing presentation, and then they say to you, I want to think it over. See, what they're saying is, you know, Mike, I'm not exactly clear on everything you've said. There's a couple questions that I'm not clear on. If you can answer them, I'll list with you. So watch. Mike, I want to think it over. Mary and Bob, I can appreciate that. It's obvious that I haven't made my presentation as clear as I should have. What questions do you have about what I said tonight? Well, we're questioning the price. Oh, I see. So if we can resolve the problem of price and come to a conclusion that works for you and for the potential buyer, we can go ahead and sign the contract and continue. Is that correct? Well, yes, we can. Watch. It's a question. See, instead of looking at an objection as a roadblock, because that's what people say it is, that's a roadblock. It's not a roadblock. It's a question. They're saying, help me. I've got a problem here. What do most trainers say? It's a roadblock. It's a stoppage. You know, it's this. It's a cross on the road. You don't know what to do. You got to fight back. You got to come at. Wait a minute. An objection is a question in the mind of the customer that remains unanswered. My job when I get an objection is to find out what questions do they have that are unanswered. When I find out, guess what? I can go ahead and answer the question and get a contract signed. Versus, now I want you to listen to me, versus what we call a condition. Because a condition can also take place after my presentation. A condition is a statement of fact that I can't do anything about. Period. Versus a question, okay, watch, a question in the mind of the customer that remains unanswered. That's the objection. So watch this. Condition. Statement of fact I can do nothing about. I think most agents confuse the two a lot. You're sitting with a buyer. Buyer says, you know, Mike, what I want to do is my wife and I, we want to buy a $1 million house. I go, great, a $1 million house, 6% commission. Oh my gosh. I start calculating the commission and I'm on an 80% split and it's my listing, my sale. Holy smoke. I'm going to make, you know, $40,000 or $50,000. Then you say, and by the way, where do you work? I'm a fry cook at McDonald's. You're a fry cook at McDonald's. And how much money do you have put down? Well, I wanted to buy the house VA with no money down. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I've got to handle this objection. No money down, a fry cook. Wait a minute. You can't handle that objection. That's a condition or statement of fact you can do nothing about. This particular person at this time cannot buy a $1 million house unless you have some real creative financing, which I doubt if you do. Now watch this. I use this example on conditions. I used to say in my seminars all the time, here's an example of a condition. I have always wanted to be the center in basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, what conditions or statements of fact are going to keep me from that? Well, my height, that would be one. My age, that would be a second one. My experience, that would be a third one. My inability to dribble a basketball, that would be a fourth one. These are conditions that we can do nothing about. If we can accept those, we can move forward. Now, usually an objection comes from a person who wants to do something with you. See, my belief has always been the same. If we understand that the objection comes from people that want to deal with us, we have a much better chance of handling that objection. So here's what I wrote down. Remember that an objection comes from someone who wants to work with you, but has a couple of simple questions that need to be answered. This thought should get you excited about responding and proceeding. See, never look at an objection or a question as being a roadblock. Look at it as being an opportunity. They've invited you to proceed, to move forward. Then I wrote down, learn to recognize that at times the prospect will simply bring in an objection to create conversation. They'll do it just to interrupt the flow. They feel they're going to buy. They feel they're going to sign. They want to hesitate a minute or two. They just throw something out, an objection. You can smile. You can continue without answering everything they say to you, because most of what they say is simply being said just to slow the process down. I'm on a listing presentation. When I get riled up and get going, let me tell you something. Somebody's going to sign something. They'll give me an objection just to kind of, whoa, slow this thing down a little bit here, pal. You know, you've only been here for 2.5 minutes and we're ready to sign a contract. So we're going to say just real quickly, we want to think it over. Great, no problem. I think you should. But in the meantime, sign the contract. See, and I'm going to keep on proceeding. I wrote down, if you pre-qualify and you're strong on your presentation, you eliminate most objections before you get them. See, remember we talked about pre-qualifying. We said the greatest advantage of pre-qualifying is that you eliminate objections before you start. Because, see, in pre-qualifying, they're going to give you most of the objections then that they want to give you later in your listing presentation. They're going to say things like this in the pre-qualifying. Well, we want you to cut the commission. We want a higher price for the house. You make a note of that. You go into your listing presentation prepared to handle those two objections. Now your presentation is even stronger, more dynamic, and they're more likely to sign on the spot because of what you do. I wrote down, and this is such a critical point, there's a limited number of objections a seller is going to give you. Instead of being afraid of them, learn the answers. I've shared this with many of you before. I was real lucky. My first broker in real estate, and this goes back to whenever. I mean, this is the early 1970s. Some of you weren't even born when I first went into real estate. The broker said to me one day, here's a list of objections that sellers give. Learn the answers. I went, okay. I took the list, I looked at it, and there was 9 objections listed. And I thought, well, where do I get the answers? He said, well, I don't know, make one up or find somebody to give you the answer. So I went around the office. Do you have the answers? No. Do you have the answers? No. Do you have the answers? No. So I sat down and I just started writing some simple answers to these objections. So for example, you know, I want you to cut the commission. I wrote down, no, any other questions? If they said no, I said, we'll sign the contract. I've got a friend in the business. Gosh, almost everybody does, but I assume that you're not going to list with them or they'd be here now. Any other questions? No. Sign the contract. So I took the list, and the next week the broker comes to me and says, well, do you have the answers? I said, yep, let's role play him. So he would give me the objection. I'd give him the answer. He said, some of these answers are not very good. I said, well, I didn't have any other answers. Then what I did is I took the list, and every time I went on a listing presentation, I carried the list in my pocket. I'd make my listing presentation to the seller. Then I would take the list out, and I'd say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, this is a list of the most common objections that you're going to give me at this time. I'd like you to read through and pick out which one applies to you. Go ahead and I'd hand it to them. They would look at it and say, well, these don't apply to us. Well, then sign the contract. Or they'd say, well, we kind of like number 4. It's my favorite. I'd give them the answer. We like number 6. I'd give them the answer. And then it was over just like that. So what happens then is I would come in so prepared with a strong presentation, A, and B, I had the answers to the objections. Folks, listen to this. 92% of the time when I made a presentation, the seller signed a contract. 92%. Why? 2 reasons. I always pre-qualified, and because I pre-qualified, I could make a great presentation, and the answers, the objections were built in. And then if necessary, I had learned the answers. Here's my challenge to you. Are there objections you're receiving on a regular basis? If the answer is yes, here's a big aha. Learn the answers. Okay? Learn the answers. They're all available to you all the time. I wrote down this thought. I have to at some point, okay, learn the answers. And how I do that is to simply take one objection per week, write out an answer that makes sense, then you spend the next couple of days practicing and role-playing until you're comfortable with it. And then if you really want to get good, you build it right into your presentation. See, how about this? You're on your listing presentation. Mary and Bob, you know, we're going to talk about price now, and it's not uncommon at all for people to look at me and say that they want a lot more money for the property than what I'm willing to list it for. So let's talk about that, may we? Well, great. Because that's exactly what they're going to say. Then you go right into our pricing script. Bang, you get them every single time. So obviously the ability to practice, to role play, to learn certain things makes a big difference. But it all goes back to my ability to be a master at that presentation. So I want to suggest a couple things to you. There was a great sales trainer when I grew up in the sales business named Al Tomczyk. I mean, Al Tomczyk was one of the best of the best of the best of the best. A wonderful, wonderful man. And I was lucky. I got to spend a lot of time around Al, and he taught me a lot about selling. But there were certain things he always said when he talked about handling objections. He said, always agree, always smile, always nod your head, and never argue when they give you an objection. Watch. Think about it. Always agree. You know, we want more for the property than what you're saying. I can accept that. Watch. Always smile. Yep, I understand that. Okay? Keep nodding your head in agreement with them and never argue. See, here's what he used to say. What are the odds of you arguing with a buyer or seller on an objection and getting a contract signed? But yet we see agents every single day. They're going to prove themselves right to the seller. You're wrong. I'm right because I'm the real estate expert because I sold a home last year. And as soon as you take that approach, guess what? You lose the game. Last thought, okay? Not arguing becomes critical because it puts the client on the defense and closes on the possibility of getting a contract signed. Guys and gals, see, I believe that you can list 75, 80, 85, 90% of the people that you present to on a listing. I believe you can do that. We have thousands of agents that do that now because they take the script cards which you have as part of this program and they practice and practice and role play and practice and practice and role play, and they internalize those scripts. And then they take all the ideas we talk about how to make a great presentation and they use those ideas to their advantage and they build a strong presentation. And then guess what happens? People sign contracts. Watch. I want to be there when you achieve the awards that you're going to receive for being one of the greatest presenters ever. I want to hear about the fact that you're closing 75, 80, 90% of the sellers. And we both know it's going to come because you've taken these ideas and made them part of your sales process. It starts with the presentation. It ends with the presentation. The objections are just a little hiccup in the middle. I know you can handle them. Have some fun with this material.